Welcome to the Draft Champions podcast. I'm back. I'm out of retirement. First of all, I want to open this podcast by asking you this. Would you rather listen to someone who says they just want to make you a better player despite competing against you and just build the community? Or would you rather listen to me who wants to beat you? I want you to lose badly. There's no edge anymore. There's no gamesmanship. I'll tell you straight up, if you're listening to this for free, there's a good chance I'm going to try and throw you off your game. Anything monetized, different story, which brings me to a recent draft I was in. The Beat Great Albright Basketball League. I don't really care what his opinions are on players, but I'm looking to see where he's going to take players. And he has this write-up on Tiedemann, and we'll get to him later. I know you like him, Nick. Nikolai's our guest that I'm waiting to introduce. So he got a write-up on him, and I wasn't going to take him where he took him anyways, but spoiler alert, he did draft him. He's like, I project him for a shit ERA, shit whip. He has shit control. And he pegs him at 4 wins. He said he's not interested in him in redraft. Dude drafts him in round 23 of this DC. Now, like I said, I wasn't going to take him there anyway, so it's not like sour grapes. But this guy's monetizing shit. What a disingenuous dirtbag. Either that or he just throws articles out there and doesn't remember anything that he writes. Which leads me to these fucking draft guides or like books or like draft kits. How the fuck are you putting out a draft kit in November before most of the signings? You know how long prep takes for serious players? You think some draft guide that was whipped up in a month is going to help you compete against the big boys that are going to be 5 months deep and with 4 months of hindsight on you? You're dead meat. Okay, next, let's talk about units. We know we're going to get to this. Got to talk about units. And I'll call people straight up. I'll say names. Frank Amarante, Matt Williams, Derek Carty, whoever, but mainly Frank. You take your units and shove them up your fucking ass. Frank's my friend, but he says units are money. But he also defines them as 1% of your bankroll. Money is a medium of exchange. How are you exchanging 1% of your bankroll for 1% of my bankroll? Doesn't work. You're full of shit. Money's also an asset. Something with present value. Nope. Or future value. Definitely not. Unless you think a unit's going to buy your way into Tout Wars, Labor, XFL, Maki, DL5, or whatever Magic the Gathering type league you want to join. You know what? You can call me an asshole for calling out all these analysts. But why the fuck do all these analysts get to act like complete douchebags to actual real MLB reporters like Heyman, Nightingale, etc.? Look, I get it. They're morons. I agree. But I fucking guarantee if these morons like Heyman had a fucking draft kit or a fucking fantasy podcast they could all talk on, all these big shot analysts would be fucking sucking their cocks on the daily. Anyways, Nikolai Nutsine's our guest. How you doing, buddy?
You sure you're done cooking?
I'm done. How you doing?
All right. I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on. You know what? I'm glad to have you on. I've got a lot of respect for you as a player that I compete against. I don't like being in your leagues. We're in a league together right now. And I wanted to, you know what? I wanted to catch up with you. Forget the podcast. Yeah. I just wanted to say hi. And like, you know what? Like, you're a friend of mine in the baseball world. So I just want to catch up with you. And of course, Bjorn, it's a nice excuse to see him too.
Yeah, dude.
Great.
I was excited.
Great to see you.
And obviously glad Bjorn's here. And when I saw the DCs, I was like trying to hold off as long as I could here. But now that the first one's ongoing, I'm sure the itch won't stop for a while. So yeah, it's good to dive back into baseball. And
well, I'm actually a doctor, Nikolai. And for that itch, you want to probably apply some aloe or something like that. That should take down any of the swelling and irritation.
That's good. That's why I come on this pod. Not only baseball advice, but I can get some healthcare advice. It's not always free. I mean, I know in Zach's world it is, but.
Canada, you think I'm going to get canceled again? I think the board's going to cancel me for that again, because like I just got the podcast back. I'm out of retirement. And I got to be careful. I don't know. We don't have Rick here.
No, you got to be. No, man. Screw that. Yeah. Stick to who you are. Stay who you are.
All right. You know what? Like, I don't want to come off too hard at first. So I think we got to soften things up a little bit. And we're going to start with an in memoriam.
Oh, that sounds great.
Bjorn, you got the music already ready?
So, I'll fire it up in a second.
You're going to start up here?
Yeah, sure.
You can go first.
Started to fade out a little. Oh, there we go. Sarah McLachlan always gets me in a sentimental mood. Gaining the edge fantasy. I'm so sad to see you go after that first year. I would edge with you every single day. I'd start reading an article and then I'd stop myself. I'd step away for 5 or 10 minutes and then I'd come back for a little more. Just edging and building that excitement till the very end when I'd finally finish the article and feel completely satisfied. I'll always remember you gaining the edge. Thank you.
Let's not forget Brian Slack. He's retiring. One of the best in the business, but looks like he'll be slacking on fantasy baseball this year.
Yeah. Goodbye, Brian. MTM Premium Pod. On hiatus currently. Frank Piscani, I will miss you greatly. You're an incredible producer. MTM, I usually find you to be funny, but sometimes I just found myself physically cringing at listening. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're rubbing me the wrong way, which sounds crazy because you've always rubbed me the right way in my dreams. Goodbye for now.
I'm going to give a farewell to Anthony Rendon, who has contracted HIV and should not be drafted anymore.
Wow, that's shocking news. My final in memoriam is for Zach Waxman's retirement. It's almost as if he didn't retire at all. I've had dumps longer than Zach Waxman's retirement. Tonight's live gladiator that's going to be drafted is going to be longer than your retirement. And one day, I hope to make love to a woman that's longer than your retirement.
Bjorn, I think you've had dumps less believable than my retirement.
Yes.
My final in memoriam is to the New York Yankees rotation, their starting rotation, as it's decimated. They've replaced one beater with another beater. Domingo Herman's gone, but now I think their fifth spot is a Clayton beater. Either way, it's terrible, and Carlos Rodon, wow, again, will be the biggest bust in fantasy baseball.
Gone but not forgotten.
Thanks, guys. We just got to pay our respects for everything. So let's get into the actual fantasy baseball, the part of the podcast. So we're in DC season. We're in a DC together, Nikolai. Let's talk about not our DC yet, but let's talk about 2023 DCs. One thing I noticed, people always say, yeah, like stolen bases and saves are less correlated at the top. But if you look at that, like I sent you guys a document, it just had like the percentiles of, not the 80th percentiles, but the percentile rankings of the top performers. And I noticed innings pitch was pretty low. Like a lot of those top teams did not have a lot of innings. So either they're focusing on relievers, but you know what? You see the saves aren't always there as well. It's just, do you make anything of that, Nick?
Yeah, I was taking a glance at it. I honestly don't know what to make of that. I was a little surprised to see some of my teams just, I don't know, as high as maybe they were. I mean, I had a couple lower in regards to the innings pitch, but obviously I know you put some pretty good performers up here and, you know, teams that did really well that really weren't that high. So, yeah, it's definitely an interesting takeaway and something probably need to think about a little bit more here now that we're starting up drafts again. I don't know what your initial thoughts were on that for your teams, or
didn't really have anything. I think the innings are, like, people always say you need volume, you need volume. I think it's, you got two approaches. You can take the, yeah, I'm just gonna get all the Zach Greinke's and Rich Hills at the end of the draft and just make sure that I'm going to get the volume on the pitching side. But then it's also a very much another viable strategy to make sure that those innings are quality and sacrifice the inning volume for the ratios, which seems to also be working. That's why I looked at Steve Weimer and Clark Olsen, two like very consistent players that I feel have a very methodical strategy, and looking at their teams and looking at just like the percentile rankings of their categories, like even their poorer performing teams, and they both are very good players, like strikeouts consistently. Look at the focus on strikeouts for those guys. So I think there's more than one way to skin a cat in these DCs. I don't think there's any right. I think there's a lot of different strategies that can work, but I think these players are very methodical. I think they're just looking to, like, look at Steve's runs. His runs, like, even on his bad teams or worse teams, are just like,
they're still really good.
Like, not even Yeah, they're still really good. The runs in particular, which might correlate, don't have it off the top of my head, but to the at bats. So they're just like they're just volume bars, especially Steve.
Yeah, speaking of his at bats, he's got a ton in 93% or above, a couple in the 100, you know.
Yeah. Because
and obviously that's intentional, obviously, with somebody like him, but
yeah, because when I'm taking Joe Adele and fucking who else? Like Nick Senzel, he's taking Jock Peterson and Yastrzemski and like yep. all the guys no one
or
wants.
The sexy prospect that might not even play. I mean,
exactly.
I fall for that too.
Yeah.
But I think you've played a lot more DCs than I have. When you go into it, are you intentionally trying to worry about your ratios more? You know, like obviously the initial thought is if you have more innings, obviously it's harder to maintain those ratios. Is that something you're trying to do? I mean, you do so many, I suppose you're differentiating enough, but.
To a degree, I'm not
or
gonna
do you...
like my thought process when I'm differentiating, and to quote Jimmy Gable, I don't want a watered down drink. I'm putting money into these leagues, like with the assumption that I can lose this money and be okay. I don't want to rely on winning fantasy. So if I'm going to be sinking all my money into certain players on certain DCs, I'm going to put them on all the DCs. And you know, one of these years, I'm just going to go bingo, and it's going to make, and it's going to, and it's
you're going to have the fill season.
Yeah. Like it I played for a couple of years, but like, I'm just thinking back, like at last year, I'm like all the, like I made money overall, and I did decent on the DCs. I more than broke even on them. That's all you want to continue. Like I did 30 DCs and doing that volume, and I profited a small profit off that. That's all you want. And looking at like the guys that I like my heavy share percentage, like I had a ton of Hunter Green, was reaching on him. My most owned player was Tyler Soderstrom. Didn't do anything for me.
Didn't they call you eighth round Hunter Green last year? Was that your nickname?
I don't know. Maybe somebody behind my back, but probably by the end I was sixth round Hunter Green. But like all the guys that
I liked him. I liked him last year too quite a bit. I had him in. I got him on leagues.
He was a sex pig. Everyone loved him. But like
no, I was just mentioning that because I was any gladiators I was in with you. You were definitely all over Hunter Green.
Yeah, I know. And it's funny. I'm not into him. I don't have like any of him this year at all. But like I don't know. I didn't like the guys that I really really honed in on last year. Trevor Bauer. A fucking ton of him. They didn't hit, but I still had to.
Tells me, hey, by the way, it tells me a lot about who you are as a person. I keep going.
Yeah, I thought,
and I like.
I thought you knew me by now. I don't think that. No, I don't think you needed. To
I'm
know
just
that.
Kidding. I'm giving you shit.
Yeah, no, I don't think any of them really hit. Like all like the highly owned players. I'm trying to remember, but like there wasn't like I didn't have like the who was like a big. I didn't have like a ton of Justin Steele. I didn't have a ton of like who else was like. I know Matt McClain, none of these guys, right? So I still did okay with that. So I'm just going to keep hammering the guys I like. And then one of these years, all the guys that I like is like, I'm going to have one or two of them on all the teams, and I'm just going to fucking go bananas. But in terms of like getting a takeaway from like this exercise that we're doing here, in terms of like the macro strategy of DCs, I don't think there's any one that works, but do you think it's like a construction thing, or it's more of a, you know what, it's a universal, just get the good players.
That's my approach.
I think in football, it's like get the good players. Not really much thinking,
right.
Just get the players, like the two, three players that are going to win the league for you. But this, is it more of a, like
I'm with you more on like you going back and saying, you know, one of these years I'm going to hit all my guys. My strategy is typically like that too. I don't have them yet, but I typically come up with a group of guys that I really love, and I'm just taking them. Like, I don't get too caught up in the ADP and being like, oh, you know, I'm not going to dance with ADP. I'll just reach a round or two. It doesn't bother me. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. If they hit, you know, it could pay off. Obviously, it can backfire too. That's usually my approach. Obviously, with somebody like Steve looking at his teams, he's just a much smarter person than somebody like myself. So he has a lot more thought process that goes into it. That's, you know, I think there's only a handful of people that truly can look at the fantasy game like maybe he does. But and I don't pretend to be in that category. So my approach is more try to go for the sexy good players and
Yeah, well, look, I'm looking at your player shares last year. I took some time to look at it. Ricky Tiedemann.
Yeah, man, I was I was
five,
pretty shocked
you,
on some of this.
You did
I'll
eight
let you go.
teams. Were you surprised about this? Did you remember this, or you probably knew?
Yeah, I remember most of it. There's a few guys I did a little like, what the hell is wrong with you? But
MJ Melendez, that's another guy I had a lot of. Did like
oh, I
like
loved him.
I loved him last year too.
Just he killed me. I had him in OCs everywhere too, but.
I had him in all the Gladiators and DCs because everyone I talked to like loved him. Like all the guys I talked to, like Graham and Ryan, they were all in on him. And like, you know what? Like, like I liked him too. I'm not saying that they convinced me, but like when you're in like a little group tank and everyone else likes him, it's just like you're just always gonna go for him.
And he wasn't like as good as I thought. He wasn't horrible based on the fact that he got to the volume at least okay. You know, I think it wasn't great. It was just not atrocious. I'm like, oh, he's gonna play 145 games. He's gonna, you know, hit 25 homers and steal 12 bases, and it just never materialized into that. But
Like
I
a lot
might
of
go back to
Pooches
the
here. You
well
got a
this
lot
year.
of, you got a, yeah, whoa. Yeah, you got in your top like 10, you got Springer, Tiedemann, Barrett, Brandon Belt. And
Yeah,
now you
obviously
got.
in the DCs, I think Belt going later, just, you know, just trying to get maybe a guy that can play 110 games, right? Springer, I don't know, man. I've always had this weird, like, obsession with Springer. And then Tiedemann was just a guy who was taking everywhere. Obviously, that completely backfired and didn't work. And I'm definitely just going to go after it again this year, I think. But, like I said, Berrios on the decent low squads. The Strasburg one, man. I don't know what the hell I was doing there. When you sent me that and then you're giving me
Strasburg,
shit,
yeah, Breeland.
I
What are
was
you
like,
doing?
I'm going to just say I was drafting drunk, possibly,
You
which,
got
you know.
DeGrom, Green, and you had a good year. You had a good year in these DCs, but yeah. It's, and then Wallner was a guy that you brought up last year on the you were on the podcast last year, and you brought up Wallner as your like this year's what this year's Eli Harris Montero, or was it
Yeah, I think that was the question, right? With
with Hoppy.
Rod and yeah, with those guys, I think it
Yeah.
was just who's the guy that's gonna like do something for 2 weeks, and he actually kind of had a better year than that, honestly.
Yeah.
Some of his stuff's just kind of impressive. I actually think he might start to creep up as the season gets closer, but
Yeah, let's go into 2024. Like Tiedemann, can I say you took him again in our DC?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I took him, you know, I don't know what it is. I think a lot of it is just, I think at the back of the rotation, I'm still not convinced, you know, that Kikuchi is going to like keep it together for a full year, or that Manoah is going to all of a sudden be good again. And I don't know. I think he's just your typical got upside player, right? And
yeah, I think he's going in a decent spot. I have him in. I have a share. I have shares of him. I didn't get him in our league. The two I'm in right now. Because Gray Albright took him, even though he thinks he's terrible. He did draft him, and then you, but you actually think he's good, and you drafted him in the same spot. So it's weird. It's like someone that likes him drafted him, and someone that didn't like him drafted him too. So I guess he's getting drafted by a wide range of different personalities.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's one of those guys, obviously, in the DC that you're realizing he's most likely not breaking, you know, the opening day rotation. I don't think, but
I
that's
think he
okay.
might.
I mean, I
Zach,
hope so, but.
Is it possible he writes under a pen name, or that he has a split personality disorder so that he's not even aware of the articles he writes when he's drafting and he's actually, you know, a pen name or a different person?
I think it
that's,
is a pen name, for sure.
Yeah.
But like
yeah,
sort of like
so
sort
they
of
might
like
be
a Fight Club, Brad Pitt, Edward Norton type
yes
thing.
Ooh,
yes
good movie.
different
Yeah.
Different people inside the same body probably is what's going on there. So I think mystery solved.
Yeah, I think you're right. So
Bjorn,
2024
Bjorn,
strategy.
by the way, we're like 10 minutes in. Bjorn gave me medical advice, and he's a detective on top of an I mean, he's good.
He's a lot of
I don't know
things.
if you're paying him enough, man.
Bjorn is a lot of things.
Nikolai, that's actually because I'm at the winter meetings right now. It's why I'm so sharp. Brent Rooker just entered the room, and there are grown men all around asking for his autograph. And it actually brings up a painful memory of mine that if it's okay, I just want to take a minute to share. So I was at a baseball game. This was about 20 years ago, and I owned Adrian Beltre there in my home league, and I caught his home run ball. So happy to do so. But I was actually drunk out of my mind and whatever. Oh yeah, I caught this. And the kids in front of me were asking for it, and I was an asshole and didn't give them the ball. So now every single time someone's shown at a game not giving a kid a ball or whatever, I've actually lived that, and I hate myself for it because I used to go to games with my friends, and I probably have a bag down here in my basement of 100 balls that I've gotten from baseball games, from batting practice, foul balls, whatever. And they're all just worthless piles of garbage, and I could have gave it to a kid that day. So I came up with three rules, actually four rules for foul balls. If you drove yourself to the game, you're too old for a foul ball. If a friend drove you to the game, you're too old to have that foul ball. Give it away. Have you ever had sex? Give that foul ball away. You don't need it. Lastly, if you're with a woman and she wants a foul ball you caught, you need to get rid of that woman immediately. Because I'll tell you what, she's a taker. She's not a giver. She won't be a generous lover. Those are Bjorn's rules to live by for foul balls. Back to you, Zach.
Thanks, Bjorn.
Oh,
So,
story.
were we done with Tiedemann? I think we've talked about Tiedemann quite a bit. 2024 strategy. Couple of things I'm noticing, like let's talk about catchers and closers because they're a relevant topic for these DCs. I'm feeling I'm retired, but I've done like a bunch of DCs already. I'm noticing there isn't so much of a push like in rounds 3 through 6 where like you typically see those top end closers and top end catchers. A lot of them are falling later. I don't know if you've done your first DC. That's my sense is that you can wait a little bit more on those two categories this year, or not categories, but those two positions. I just
Yeah, I
think
mean, I'm going to
it's just
kind of
deeper.
and I agree with you. I do. I'm going to kind of contradict myself because honestly, in this DC, not with closers, but with catchers, I took Contreras in round, I don't even know what it was, like one of the first catchers off the board, I think. And then I also took Yiner because I thought he fell a little bit further than normal and was not the plan to take two catchers that early. And I don't think going forward, it will be because I mean I think you have plenty of guys later to your point of that have some pretty good upside like Ohapi and Moreno, guys that could definitely break out a little bit more that offer probably close to the upside that some of those guys in round 6, 7 are going. And I think the same goes I kind of waited on closers, but then I kind of think my closers suck in this DC. So maybe that's
Which
going to
ones
backfire
do you
on this one.
have?
But
Do you want to say or
No, I don't care. I have Fresley, which I don't have a problem with him, I guess. He's getting older, but
you got him late though, didn't you? I remember that. I almost took him, but
it was later, and then I took Alex Lang or whatever from Detroit, which I mean who knows, like he's on and off and he could lose his job if he's walking everybody, but and then I just have a bunch of spec guys, I think, on top of that so far.
right
But
on.
I do agree with you. I think waiting is looking a little bit more appealing this year so far, just the little bit of research I've done on those two positions. So because I think you also have like Realmuto. I think he's finally what maybe declining slightly. A few of these guys like Sal Perez too. I mean Melendez, he's only outfield that would be, right? We were
Yeah,
talking about him.
him and Varsho lost it.
So I mean you just a couple guys lose the eligibility and a couple guys start getting a little older. I think it just makes sense. To just maybe take some of those younger guys that have plenty of upside late and just, hope they break out. But
What are your thoughts on Yiner Diaz? Because I know a lot of people that are like him this year, but like he's going like in round 7, round 8. Whereas I see like in these drafts you get round 10 is another sweet spot for these catchers. You got Sal Perez, Wilson Contreras, Alvarez. Even after that, like you mentioned, Ohapi and Moreno. Like I think are people just extrapolating his stats, assuming he's going to get full-time playing time, which like I'm not debating that, but are we right to extrapolate the stats rather than rely on like regression projections for him? Like, is he being overdrafted is basically what I'm saying.
I think I got him in round 10 in this one. It was the only reason I took him.
Yeah.
But to
I
your
took him in round
point,
10 of another DC as well, just to clarify. Like round 10, I'm not talking about round 10. He's like you got him
yeah.
really late. He's going round 7, round 8 usually.
Right. And I think to your point, the appealing thing with him is like they probably want to DH him a good amount, right? So you're going to do the he should get a lot more at bats than most catchers, which is great. He's on a good team. I mean, he did kind of hit the shit out of the ball too last year. I mean, I think there was enough in his, you know, his like ex-woba and, you know, hard hit and stuff that we can all get jacked up about maybe too much sometimes. But is it fair to go? He hit 20, what he hit, 23 homers in like 100 games. Is it fair to say that we expect 35 home runs out of him? I mean, I think if anybody's thinking that, I mean, I think they're getting a little too crazy personally, but.
But you can say the same thing about Ohapi Alvarez too.
Yeah. I was going to say Alvarez. I mean, on the Mets,
he's like he wasn't playing. Around. He played pretty consistently, but like they're going to be a new manager in there. He could DH, that lineup's kind of shit. So like they
for
should,
sure.
Like he could be in there quite a bit more than he was this year.
Yeah.
Babbitt, I don't know. So, yeah.
And I mean, in somebody like Jonah Heim, I mean, I do not expect him to drive in as many runs as he did last year, but he's still going a little bit later.
Yeah, they don't have Darvish either.
And he's in a great lineup. I still expect him to probably get quite a few games in and drive in a lot more runs than most catchers, right? Just because of
yeah,
the
and
contract around there.
What you gotta love about Jonah also is how he pleasures his wife with the Heimlich maneuver. All right,
I did not know that.
I half got it, and then I just got the whole thing.
He just moved up my board a full 2-3 rounds.
Yes.
That's a good one. What about like Ester Ruiz and Luis Arias? Like, how are you approaching them this year? Because I'll tell you, I like both of them last year. I had a lot of them. Probably why like I did well in speed in the DCs because I had a lot of Ruiz. But I had a lot of them, both of them together on the same team. So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is not me crunching the numbers yet, and I will, but taking one of them and then taking another one, or even taking a guy like Jeff McNeil or Brendan Donovan, like later, doesn't it sort of preclude you from doing that and still having a good chance of being competitive, like in power, basically, or counting stats?
Yeah, no, I would totally agree. I mean, especially if you're taking both of them, obviously. For Ruiz, I think, I mean, we're talking about DCs. In an OC, I guess I probably just not even going to look at him this year. I mean, I understand steals matter, but with the rule change, I think there's plenty of better players that can contribute in more than one category that I just don't care if he steals. I shouldn't say I don't care, but I understand 50 to 60 bases matters. But like you said, what he's basically a negative in almost every other category. So in a DC, sure, if you want to take him just to you get a certain build going on and you want to grab him, what is he like, pick 130 or something, I think, right now? Yeah, I think that's fine, but I wouldn't. Then you have to make sure you have the right build, like you said, in regards to Paro, because he's a zero. And he probably takes you out of taking somebody like Arias, who's probably a, you know, better baseball player on a little better team. And I guess if I had to pick one right now, I'd take Arias.
Easily. I would take him straight. Ruiz is going before Arias. I would take Arias over him. But it all depends on your team build. Like you got it depends on your build. But yeah, no, I agree with what you said about Ruiz. Like, he would be, I'll tell you, like off my board. I won't have any of him. Like he's not going that much earlier than where he was going at like in main event season last year. And it's funny, both of them are going at a pretty similar spot than last year. I don't know. They're just very much like a shoehorn band-aid type solution to a team where you just want to the thing with them is they could become players, like especially like on a main event where like you cannot start them like by August. That was the case with Ruiz. So like, do I want to spend a pick like even in round 10 through 12 on a player that is basically useless to me?
No, I don't.
70% of the way through the season. Maybe you got to be careful, but then you got to really be walking on eggshells, like either during the season or during your draft when you're taking these guys. It makes it very, why make life hard? You think, I think it's like people think it's like an easy solution, but I think it's making things harder for you taking players like that.
I agree.
Arias, like, I think is more of a player that fits certain teams, like where he's going. I'll have some of him.
I would agree. Yeah, I think Ruiz, the more we're talking about it, and I kind of went in with that feeling, is unless he fell or I felt like, holy shit, you screwed up on speed early, like panic draft or something. But yeah, I think with the chains, there's just so many guys I think that can get you 15, 20 steals.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I can get enough of them, hopefully, to, you know, be competitive and stay.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to pop up. I don't mind. Ruiz is not as bad of a pick, in my opinion, in DCs as he is in a fab league, especially like an OC. Like you said, like you do the OCs, like he's basically like Rendon to me in OCs, eights.
Yeah, I would not touch him.
Yeah.
Wow, that's sad about the Rendon news. That breaking news. You're like Jeff Passan over there with the Rendon news. And
did you see that? Did you see the tweet about that?
No, I didn't. What are we talking here?
Bro, let me find it, because I tweeted at Dave McDonald, see if he could help me out here.
Get a doctor's opinion. Well, Bjorn might know too.
Bjorn, did you see that?
It had to deal with there being a higher prevalence of AIDS in Texas. Yeah.
So I'll I'm gonna send it to you guys right now. And you don't have to look at it now. I'll read it out. Oops. I basically was appealing to Dave McDonald to help me out here, see if he can have any idea if this is true. So this is Jude, J-U-D-E-U-T-H. My theory, does Anthony Rendon have AIDS? Anthony has lived in Texas for most of his early life, and AIDS rates are extremely high in Texas. AIDS weakens the immune system, which explains why Rendon is always hurt. Other symptoms of AIDS include body fatigue and leg issues. So I retweeted that and just asked Dave if he had any insight on that. And he didn't.
He hasn't got back to you.
No, but like this Jude fellow, I don't know if he's a doctor or whatnot, but I don't know. Makes me very tepid to draft Rendon, especially in DCs or anything like that. Anyways, speaking of like later round targets, not Rendon, DeGrom. Springs, Ray Rasmussen. Are you interested? If so, where are you interested? Like, and can you take multiple of these guys in the same draft?
Yeah. You know, when you proposed this question, I was like, I'm definitely down with, you know, taking a shot on one of them, especially as news comes out, you know, as we get closer to opening day. But multiple, I guess. I probably would. I mean, again, I'm an idiot when it comes to that sometimes because.
So am I.
So, you know, like last year, for example, on my DCs, I took Scooble in a decent amount. I think I had him in, I don't know. I think I had him in like three leagues at least.
Let's see. I have your player shares in DCs. You don't have them in three DCs. Might be two. I copied all the ones in three and above.
Okay.
Let me just verify that. No, you are a liar.
I know I took him in fab. I took him in fab in my OCs everywhere. But anyways, I bring him up only because he came back, you know, what, 2 months in or whatever it was. And he was phenomenal, right? He was huge for people, especially in regards to ratio strikeouts. These guys obviously are all talented players. When they come back is anybody's guess. You know, I took Springs in our draft only because I saw that he was throwing, which could mean nothing, but I was like, well, hey, if he's back by July, he could be a difference maker for the last 2 months. So
I'd ask Bjorn about that. I don't know when the throwing occurs. Like, I know that's like what it's like 14 to 16 months, 14 to 19 months or whatever the return time. So
yeah, I think it was like 12 to 14 when I had saw, but
so I don't know when I'm the throwing is typically like, I don't know if that makes him ahead of schedule or not. I would defer to Dr. Bjorn on that.
Yeah. Your timeline sound about right.
Okay. Thanks.
But yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts? Are you targeting one of them?
I've taken them. I've taken them. Like DeGrom, you sort of know what you're going to get. Like, at least I think I know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get like 1.5 months, maybe even 1 month. Like when you're looking at that late, like, is it worth like 1 month of just like you're gonna assume that he's just gonna fuck the league. Like,
he's gonna be
just,
awesome.
He's
yeah.
just gonna bend everyone over and fuck them, and be amazing.
Yep.
Whereas other guys like Springs, like I think Springs is one of the more decent shots there. Like Ray, like already like he, command issues with him a little bit is not like he's not someone I'm as confident coming back right away. But then you get into Rasmussen, and I've seen people take Rasmussen, and I've taken him, but like at a lesser cost. I've seen him go, but so he's had two Tommy Johns already, and they didn't want to give him a third. They gave him that internal brace. There's not much history with that with pitchers. So that timeline is 10 to 12 months, but I don't know if that's really true. Like no one really has like a lot of data on starting pitchers having that procedure and their timeline, and especially somebody with already two Tommy Johns. Is he gonna, like, given all that, is he gonna even come back? Is he even gonna be a starter? Just
Because
like,
his happened in what, July? Was his in like July?
well, he was hurt all year, and then like he had the surgery in July, so that would put him like the timeline, okay, all-star break next year if everything goes right. But like, I don't know, like I've taken him. I've taken a shot on him, but definitely not somebody I'm like going out of my way to take because of like, I get it. Like people have in their head, oh yeah, Ray had Tommy John, DeGrom had Tommy John, Springs had Tommy John, all these guys had Tommy John. This guy didn't have, it was less, it was better. But I don't know, is it better? Like the Tommy John is like pretty high success rate. And it's a pretty like typical procedure for people to have these days. This is a little bit less known, and he's already been hurt. Like, I don't know, my gut says like this is probably the worst pick of them all, in my like my just my
Sure.
like it's just totally a gut thing. I'm like, I think the Rasmussen the one is the worst, and I've taken him just to have like if I'm gonna sprinkle some of these fucking injured guys around in the later in the DCs, I'm gonna have probably a share of
Oh,
all of them,
I do the
but.
same. I'll do the same thing
But
for the
I
most part.
think Rasmussen's the worst bet out of. I'd rather have DeGrom. DeGrom's going ahead of him anyways because of his skills, but that's what I
Like
think.
you said, there you don't question DeGrom giving you literally, top three SP quality innings when he's back, most likely, right? Like
Yeah.
how long it is anybody's guess, but he's awesome
Yeah,
and
he's a
that could
cyborg.
obviously make a difference for sure, even if it's for eight
It's gonna it,
starts.
it's gonna be like a binary outcome with sort of like I'm using your terms, Bjorn. Like this is going to be binary. It's either he's going to come back for like a month or month and a half and be awesome, or he's not going to come back at all because his arm like exploded or
Yes,
something horrible happened.
setbacks and
Yeah,
yeah.
it's one or the other. So, yeah.
But
So.
I think even in this one, I'm trying to gauge on, I took Tiedemann, who's, a young guy who, I mean, he's had a little injuries. There's no guarantee like how many starts does he take. So I took Springs, kind of trying to make up for waiting on pitching a little bit and hoping you catch a spark there, right, with one or two guys. But obviously it could completely backfire and they could give you an absolute dud. So,
I think Tiedemann's going to start in the rotation.
man, I hope you're right, but.
What about Rodon? You took Rodon, Carlos Rodon.
I know, and I instantly, it's funny. I was out with some buddies, and we were having some drinks, and I was like, "Oh, I'm up on the
That's why.
clock here." And yeah, and I was like, "I think I messaged you," and I was like, "All right, I know you're gonna roast me because I know you hate his guts." And honestly, I'm not a huge fan either. But it was one of those things where I was like, "He's fallen at what was it? I think it was like pick, what was it in this draft even?"
It's like around 12 or 11, I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it was like 170, 80, maybe. Anyways, I get it. Is it gonna work out? Probably not, if I had to guess. I think, we're talking about pros and cons with him. Of course, the injuries is the biggest thing. And is he ever gonna be able to snap out of that again? I don't know. I think at that spot though, I still believe there's a small chance that what a little bit over a year ago he was one of the best pitchers in baseball, right? I'm not saying it comes back, but obviously if you get a guy around 175 that can strike out 220 guys if all things go right, and whatever you think about the Yankees, still not one of the worst teams, so he's going to get some wins, and that could vault you up a league, right? If you get a guy like that at pick 175. again, the percentage is probably pretty small.
What did I say to you when what was my response to you when you said roast me on the Rodon pick? Remember what I said? I said that.
Yeah, what was it? I got to hear.
I said that.
Well, I know one. You commented on his mustache. You're not a big fan of his. You're like his.
No, I said that anyone that grows a mustache like that is not serious about their job.
That's true. That's what you said. I don't have a comeback on that.
Bjorn,
yeah.
Any thoughts on that? Somebody that grows a mustache like Carlos Rodon. You know, like somebody walks into the office with a mustache like them. Like you're not serious, right? Like that's not a serious thing. Like you're just here and to collect a paycheck, and you're just gonna want to go out and have like a fucking organic beer after the end of the day, and that's all you care about. You don't really care about doing well and helping my company.
Yeah, I would agree. I used to have a huge ridiculous mustache, and I showed my friend it one day after I went in for a job interview, and he said the first question he would have had if he was to interview, he would have said, well, you know, when are you going to get out of the 1970s? And
give him a mustache.
See, I've always been jealous of people with cool mustaches, man. I can't grow one. So I think for me, it's more of a respect thing. I'm like, I wish I could grow a mustache.
That's fair. Look, just back to the conversation about all these hurt pitchers. Like in DC's, like I'm noticing, I'm looking at the winners, and like, I believe, Polonia had like Buxton and Acuna when they had like half seasons, and yeah, Jazz Chisholm. I'm looking at last year, I'm looking at some of these drafts, and I'm looking at some of Clark Olsen's teams. Clark doesn't want to, I don't think he's a big podcast guy, so I'm not saving analysis for when he's coming on this podcast, because he's not. But looking at the team that he finished fourth overall, and he had a lot of good teams, he had a really good year last year. He had Aaron Judge, Mullins in round four, Judge in round one, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale. Like, I'll just go through his team. Aaron Judge, Class A, Michael Harris, Mullins, Felix Bautista, got injured partway through, Framber Valdez, Willy Adames, Clayton Kershaw, Sean Murphy, CJ Crone, Chris Sale, Thero Estrada, Danny Jansen, also got hurt, Ryan McMahon, not that great, Josh Naylor, great pick, Ester Ruiz in round 16. So that was probably a big thing for him. Berrios, yeah. Yandy Diaz in round 18, which is huge. Tyler Molly in round 19 did nothing. There's Eflin. There you go. Zach Eflin. Luis Garcia. Which one is this? Clicking on it. Oh, the hitter. So he also got sent down. Siri, Maeda. Like, this doesn't really sound like when you list the players. You know, you had Spencer Steer pick 425. That was your guy, Bjorn. You got him in all your gladiators, right?
I had three shares. I was the only one that had them.
I know. You were the only one that took – you know, Bjorn was the only one that took
– That's impressive. Shares. I did actually – I think I saw that on Twitter last year when you guys were talking about this. I'd say it was impressive because he had a good year.
No shit. He had Steven Strasburg on this team too. So
So me and Bjorn were aligned. We wanted
No. This is Clark Olsen.
Oh,
and okay. Paxton. So what I'm noticing on this team is he had a lot of, like, good players that were good for stretches, but a lot of these players missed – like part of the season. Like if you look through this, Aaron Judge, this is a fourth overall team. So this is like a legitimate overall DC contender. Aaron Judge, Felix Bautista, Clayton Kershaw, Crone, Sale, Danny Jansen, Tyler Molly, Luis Garcia, second baseman, Kenta Maeda, Joey Votto. And that's getting it around 28. So I'm not going to go much further than that because whatever, it's like, JT Brubaker was also on here, James Paxton. Like, you keep going, but like, just makes me kind of think that like those Tommy John guys, like in round 40, like pretty good, maybe.
Well, yes, because to your point, everybody has people that are going to miss significant time. And for somebody like him to place that well, right, with that many injured guys, the key is. He had some difference makers, right? He had guys that
popped. Eflin, Yandy, Estuary, Naylor. And yeah,
those it makes you forget about all those hurt players because you hit on certain guys. So are Springs, Ray, Rasmussen going to hit? I don't know. Like, but if they could, and that's huge. I mean, it's just so huge, right? Because you're not going to probably find an average Joe Smo at pick like 450 that legitimately offers like that kind of upside, right? I mean, even if all things go well, there's not as many guys, right?
I mean,
you
there know
can
how
be, but
people always ask, "Oh, who's this year's Robbie Ray?" And I go to
Carlos
Phil.
Rodriguez.
I go to Phil. I'm like, back in 2021 when you had your massive season, where you took Robbie Ray, like I think you took him like high 200s. Like, if you took him and he had a half a year, would it still be worth it? And so that was the question I asked. And then, well, I don't know if he wants me to say what he said, but extrapolate that. So, like, if you're good with half a good season of Robbie Ray's 2021 at pick 300, are you good with Robbie Ray as you know him at pick 600 for half the year?
Right.
Is Robbie Ray this year's Robbie Ray?
Could be. I mean, it really could be. By the way, speaking of injured players who I saw you took in RDC, and actually, I think it's way too far for him to fall with all the concerns. Buxton, I know we can all make the jokes, right? Like, we get it. I can't stay healthy. I'm a Twins fan. I understand all of it. But man, you got him at like pick 250, 275. Wasn't he in that
Well, later,
range?
later than that. Like, I think it was like
I was
pick.
like, I mean, we can say whatever we want, but we can't act like he still doesn't hit the ball really hard. And I know they don't let him steal that much, but like, it isn't crazy to think he could hit 40 homers and steal 15 to 20 bases. Like,
I know you like him, and I looked at him the round before, and I'm like, I'm looking ahead in the draft, and I'm like, Knudsen's got Ozuna. I'm like, I don't think he's gonna take another UT play.
Honestly, I regretted it because I didn't realize Buxton was going that late. And I was like, wow, really? 275? Because I took Ozuna much earlier than that.
They're gonna get a deal on Mizuno.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
All the utility guys are going late because it's a UT check-in. It's like, okay, I don't want, like, I'm gonna see. It's like, you don't want to be the first one to take one of like the Eloy, JD Martinez, Ozuna, Buxton, like, because like, what if one of them falls like to a good value? Obviously, Buxton's like the guy that's gonna go last out of all of them, but it's like, one of those guys you're going to have a really good value on. You just don't know which one it is. So it's sort of like an auction or fab. It's like, okay, do you want to blow your load early on one of them, or do you want to wait for like values that come by the end? And you don't know. It's like every draft is a different story. So it's just sort of like, you kind of want to keep your options open. And a lot of times it's going later because people don't want to fill up the utility. Because like, what if a good shortstop falls late? What if like fucking Jaime Candelario like falls to pick 300 and you already have your corners filled? Like, what are you gonna do there? So it's sort of like keeping your options open, and also there being like, I don't think there's ever been like four utility only guys that are like what was it last year? Like, yeah, like Nelson Cruz wasn't last year, but like, who was it last year? JD Martinez, right?
Yeah, JD.
And then I don't know who else.
Trying to think who else would be good. I mean,
Well,
obviously you have
Shohei, I'm not even
Otani.
counting Shohei. He's
Yeah.
Don't even worry about that. But
Stan, nobody cares about anymore. He's been
I'm just
UT
trying
in
to
the
think of
past,
like
but
prior years. Like, Yordan was a utility at some point, but those are all like high round guys. I'm talking about, forget about like the guys going like in the first two or three rounds. Talking about like
yep.
JD Martinez last year, and I don't know who else there was last year, the year before. I know Nelson Cruz was one of those guys that was in that range in the year past, but I don't remember a year where there's been four of them. Like, you got Eloy,
No.
JD Martinez, Ozuna, and Buxton. And then you've been Heston Kjerstad a little bit later on. There's other guys like McCutcheon, and Joey Meneses is actually a legitimate one to mention in there as well. So I think they're all
Yep.
falling because, like, you don't want to take them early just in case one of the other ones has an amazing value. It's just a
Yeah, I
trade.
would agree.
That's I
If
think that's why that's happening.
honestly, if Buxton goes there in OCs, I'll just tell you, I'm gonna own him in every league. Only because it's late enough
Buxton's
where
gonna he, but you don't understand. He's guaranteed to be injured. Guaranteed.
no, he
Like,
will, but
he's
I'll
for sure.
know
Like, it's not
soon
even a,
enough.
it's not like a mathematical thing. It's just like common sense. He's gonna be hurt. Like,
Totally fine. I mean, I can just like probably as a
it,
Twins fan, like that one season you imagine he's gonna have like in his whole career where it goes off.
but
And
the
if I
thing
can get
is,
him at pick 275, I'm
devil's advocate, like, the batting average doesn't seem good, and the speed isn't like. When he was being drafted, like on the 1-2 turn in those main events back, like, what was it, 2 years ago? People had in their head, like, this guy can go 40-40. He's not stealing that much.
Well,
Especially like
here's the thing.
the
He could if they let him. He's such a efficient base stealer. The problem is he can't stay healthy. So they're like, dude, you're made of glass. We're not going to have you sliding into second base and getting yourself hurt because you can't even run on the outfield and catch a fly ball without getting hurt. You know what I mean? Like, it's within his capability, I
He's
think.
the ultimate wish casting fanboy.
No, he is. He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is. Yeah. But I was surprised he was that late. I don't know why, but
he is going late, but definitely for the utility reason and the multiple choices at utility and for the definitely getting hurt thing. But
yeah,
like I said, it's not a valid. I'm not saying it's a bad pick. Oh yeah, let's talk about targets. Want to talk about your favorite DC targets after 400?
Yeah, so you know, obviously, like I said, this is the first one. Just kind of jumping in, there might be more that I don't know stand out. A couple guys I just threw down here, I kind of liked, and you took him as one of the guys. I like Hurston Waldrop, if I'm saying his name right, but the Braves pitcher. I like the pick from the standpoint of similar to Tiedemann, where I think they have enough issues at the back of the rotation for, you know, a team that you usually want a piece of, right? I think he's got a lot of upside. Their GM just mentioned a few days ago, I think, that they were going to give him a shot, I think, in spring training. That was my understanding, at least. So, I mean, I'm assuming it's probably why you took him too, but I just think great team. Yeah, obviously no guarantee he's a stud or anything, but it's an upside play. It's that late, and if it hits, he could be great for, you know, however many starts he gets, right? Gets you wins, gets you some strikeouts. I think that's all you're looking for at that spot, so. Yeah, I don't know. I was a little pissed off. I was like, he was in my queue, and then you took him on the way back. But
yeah, he's just one. There's a whole bunch of like pitchers that are minor league pitchers that that are like good shots around there. I don't have any. Like I read the things, the same thing you read. There's a lot of guys that there's a lot of minor leaguers I like. Like I like Tash Bradley last year. I had a lot of him, but he didn't end up working out. Like they got a hit. Like the guys that that are most sought after, in fantasy, like you got Painter, Fat, Stone, like those weren't the guys. It was like the Gavin Williams, BB, and you know, like it's never what you think.
No, I agree. And then another one I threw down here is, and I didn't draft him yet. I was just trying to think of maybe a guy even later. I think he's still available even in this draft we're in. But I kind of like the idea in DC is obviously of Juan Yepez as a late guy. Like, goes to the Nationals. I think he's going past, like, pick 500 currently.
Oh,
yeah, he's late. I mean, he might even be later in 500. But I just like the idea of there's a path where he could get everyday playing time, right? Like, that team – it's not crazy to think he could play like first base or something, maybe as the year goes on. I know he was shit last year. He's still only like 25. There's enough in his bat, I think, where he could provide you some pretty good power really late in the DC as well. So I kind of like the idea of a guy like that maybe late, but my mind might change on this here as the season progresses. But
Bjorn, do you have any guys you like late?
I just wanted to say, Nikolai, if you ever tweet about Juan Yepez, his dad is a prolific tweet searcher. He will search it and like it if it's positive about him. I did that once or twice last year. So that's an added bonus of drafting Juan Yepez, is his dad will like the tweets and interact with you. So, yeah.
I should get off this as soon as we're done recording. I should say thanks, guys, and then be like, this is Juan Yepez's year, and just kind of give a quick summary on what I said on this. See if he comes at me.
He would love it. I was looking for my diamond in the rough this year, the Spencer Steer for the Gladiator that no one's drafted yet, and I haven't found him yet. There wasn't any glaring issues that jumped out at me, because like he was, the Gladiator was drafted back, you know, that was in probably December, late December, early January. I was taking him in roster resource, which always. It's not always correct, but even then they had him down as a 6 or 7 hitter on the Reds. That's why I took him, because no one was, and it just seemed off. And I haven't found anybody like that really stands out to me.
Okay.
What about you, man? You got targets? Or are you keeping them hush hush?
Me?
Yeah. Anybody here liking so far at their price?
Yeah, the guys I'm taking late? These drafts. Hurston Waldrop is not really one of the guys I'm targeting so much. I've taken him a couple times, but it's all like it's all value based in these in like at this point, like which guys are falling. But no, I definitely do have guys that I'm targeting, but nah, I'm not gonna say anything right now. Let's talk about last thing. Let's talk about the last thing that I have on this agenda here. Steamer's out now. That moves the market a little bit, but also you have all these analysts like jockeying for their clicks, and they want to like put out some blurbs, and they want to be smart, right? So like, you got a lot of things that are going to move the market. People are going to move up, people are going to move down in these DCs. You want to really have a good gut check on how things are going to move, like not just the value of certain players, but like where you think like where these players are trending. So what I want you to do, what I want to end on is I want you to give me two players you expect to move up and two players you expect to move down that you agree should be moving up or moving down. And then I want to ask you the same question. I want you to tell me two players that are going to move up and down that you think is going to be an exercise in groupthink and people are going to be mistaken or like regret that not noticing that this is just the market's moving, but shouldn't be moving that way. So
okay,
basically we're looking at eight players in total here.
Yeah. So I think ones that I think should or will, because I don't know, at least my reasoning, kind of taking a peek at where things are right now. They're bigger names. Trout and Buehler are two names that just came to mind, just sort of looking at quick the ADP. Again, I know we just got done talking about Buxton and guys that are injured, and we all understand Mike Trout. I don't think we need to go into depth about the guy hasn't played a full season in a few seasons. But for me, this is maybe more OC. In a DC, I'm not saying that necessarily. But in maybe a fab league where I can, you know, fill his roster spot potentially with a good pickup. Again, this is just my approach. It might be idiotic. I still think, forget the steals, he's still a really good hitter. I think he can do a 270, 4,500 season. I think, is he going to play enough games? Again, I don't know. But I think it's capable. And if you get him around pick 70, I mean, obviously it's huge. And that's kind of how my thinking is, yeah, I think he should go up because some of the guys around him, I'm not seeing any upside like that. And again, doesn't mean you can't win with those players, but if you're, especially doing an overall, if you're doing a contest like that, you need a guy like that that pops big time in those spots. And it's probably wishful thinking with him, but I still think 70 seems a little low. I mean, wasn't he 15th last year? I don't know. Right? He was middle second.
He was middle of the second, not 15th. He's going mid second, maybe even earlier sometimes.
Did a lot change since last year? Like, I mean, I get it. He was hurt again. I get that. But for him to drop 50-ish spots, I feel like the situation's basically idle, the same. And I don't know. That's just my opinion. And he's a big name. I could just see, you know, maybe some people thinking the same way of like, I can't believe he's this far. I mean, Machado's kind of low too. But and then Buehler. I think you got him super late in DC recently. I think he's the type of guy that you're going to see spring training come around, especially if he's hitting, you know, I don't know, 95, something like that with his fastball, looking good. Reports are sharp. I mean, the Dodgers are fantastic with pitching. They're going to get you everything you want in regards to, you know, wins, defense behind the pitchers. And if he looks healthy, I have no idea why he'd be going as late as he is currently. But I don't know what your thoughts are.
I've been pumping Buehler up all draft season.
Have you? Or I mean, you took him, or were you not? Or are you giving me?
No, I took him. I've been loving Buehler all draft season.
But then you're giving me the shit grin, so I can't tell if you're fucking with me or not. But
yeah. All right. Who are the two? Who are two you're going down? That you think are going to move down? That you think should move down?
Okay. First is I don't know. I mean, you talked about him just a little bit in our chat, but I think Ellie is going to go down. I guess I'm torn. Maybe I just think he should. He's such a big name, and I get the steals and the upside. I think with the guys they're adding this offseason and they're batting him lower in the lineup last year, sure, is there a world where he could hit 30 homers and steal 60 bases? Yeah, I mean, I guess it could happen. I didn't see enough out of him the end last year to make me think he's close to being a good enough hitter to pull that off yet. He's going to get you steals, I think, regardless if he plays, which of course matters. But if he's batting eighth or ninth, the counting stats are going to be much lower and the average is maybe 250. I don't know. I just think there's still too many question marks. He's super exciting, but 11 seems really high. And I'd like to think there's, I don't know, enough people that probably see some of those concerns and go, why would you, you know, take him over, I don't know, guys who are proven year after year, right? Like, I don't know. Again, he's a home run pick. He's a fun pick, but 11 seems like it should come down slightly. I don't know how much, but yeah. Yeah. The other guy, which I can't believe I'm saying this because I was his biggest fan last year, and it hurts me, but I, on the spot, I couldn't think of a better one, is CJ Abrams. And I had him everywhere last year and it worked out. Well, actually, it worked out until I dropped him in a lot of OCs when he sucked to start off. But I believed in, I guess, sort of his progression, right, as a player. And I just think I've seen him in like round, I think early round three type of stuff. Another guy, it's like 15 steals and maybe 40, or 15 homers, maybe 40 steals. That's great. He's not on a great lineup. If I'm in that area, I'm looking for runs and RBIs. Obviously, it's going to be a little lower with him, right? And I hate to do this, but to me, if you look at somebody like Kim on the Padres, right, he's going much later. And I'm not saying he's going to give you the amount of steals, but I think there's enough of a version there of that same type of player that's going five, six rounds later that for me, I don't know. Unless he steals 55 bases or something this year, but I'm not sure he's going to add more than, I think he did 47. That still seems at his, maybe his high point, but I don't know. It hurts me because I do think he can be a player that even adds power as he maybe bulks up if he gets older here, but yeah, we'll see. Steals are such a thing that we gravitate towards, and I get why. So I think when you see a guy that gets 45 steals and double digit homers, it's tough not to, you know, grab a few shares. But I know what your thoughts are on him, but
I kind of agree with you. I think that he's gonna get pushed up a little too high. This is what you're saying, that this is justified a move up. Or you're saying he's gonna move down?
I think he should move down, that maybe as it gets closer, like not a lot, but just a little bit because of what I said there.
I'm gonna disagree with that.
Okay.
He'd be more in my second next category of two players I think are gonna move up that shouldn't. I could see Abrams being like a $40 auction player in Vegas.
You think so?
That's what he's trying to, that's reading the market. I think he's gonna trend to be like, He's going in the third round right now. Started in the fourth or fifth. He's moving up.
Someone just set up Min in the Gladiator I'm in and took him in the second.
Who did?
Somebody in the Gladiator I'm in.
No.
Not a name I recognize.
Yeah, like I can just see it, man. In Vegas, like he's in somebody's plan for those 40 steals. He was trending the way he was trending. I'm not saying that I like him like this or I agree with it. I can just see the NFBC market pushing this guy to being like basically he's going to end up costing more on the auctions than Ellie. You're going to see him like him and Lindor are going to flip, I think. Like almost like that, not completely, but I can see it like getting really close, and I can see some discrepancies in auctions where I can see Abrams going higher than Lindor in dollars in auctions.
So do you think people are
I think that's wrong. I think that's a mistake, but I think it's a mistake that's going to happen.
Do you think people are expecting his power to improve, or that? I mean, my only issue that I say within that range isn't doubting the steals and even that he'll give you some pop. It's more, I find it hard to believe that because of the team he's on and he's still a very low OBP guy, that it minimizes the chances of him, in my opinion, getting over 85 runs or in that area, right? Like, and if I'm in that range and I'm taking a hitter in the second, third round, I mean, I would like to think they can get close to 95, 100 runs, right? And that's just me. So I don't know. That's where I was maybe a little surprised.
I think people are going to look at it's sort of like Skubal. People are going to look at what he did, and they're not going to find anything wrong with it. They're going to look at his strikeout rate. They're going to look at his second half. They're going to look at the steals. They're going to look at the trending power. They're going to look at the prospect pedigree, checks everything. And then you're going to look at him, and you're going to be in an auction or in a draft. You're going to have like Lindor, and you're going to have Ellie, and then you're going to have CJ, and then you're going to have like all and people are going to, people just love him, and they're like, I want him. Like, it's going to be like Ian Conn with Mike Trout. I just want Mike Trout. I just want Mike Trout. I just want CJ Abrams. I just want CJ Abrams. Like, I'm going to have him on every team. That's what's going to happen. And I
hate saying that, because I really do like the player. I was a little surprised.
I like him too, but I think that I can already feel the helium on him. And I don't know if Bjorn feels the helium too, but what are you supposed to look at? We're supposed to look at steroids, right? Not helium.
Yeah, you want to look at muscle mass, not helium.
Okay. So yeah, that's my thing. Let's the Bubba draft is starting already, so we gotta get going here. But
I'll let you.
No, it's okay. We'll finish. I'm on auto for the first two rounds, anyways.
Okay.
So let's look at two players you think that are going to move up that shouldn't. So CJ Abrams would be one for me.
Well, after hearing you say that, I guess I would agree. I probably, you know, haven't talked to enough people and getting their thoughts, you know, outside of just myself quick here looking at things. That should move up, that shouldn't. Let me hear. You know what? Honestly, and this is, I'm a Twins fan. I could see Royce Lewis moving up more. And again, I think where he's going is probably fine now. I don't know if I would want to get on board on him moving up too much higher, but I could see strikes me as the guy that comes out just hitting tanks in spring training. We remembered he was doing in the postseason, and we're like, 40's not good enough. This guy, you know, it's the 40 homer, 20 steals. Here we go. But let's not forget that he also, unfortunately, has not stayed healthy at all in his career. I can't pretend that I think he's just going to play 150 games either. So I guess if he started to move up much higher, that would be somebody I would probably say I would not get on board with, just because I still think the risk is like, what would be the difference of him or Jazz, I guess. And I think Jazz is going after him. Right. Two guys that could crush it, but do we trust it? I mean, on a per game basis, they're probably awesome, but yeah. So I guess that's probably one guy off the top of my head that I could see getting, just because of the name, the pedigree, and him having this ability to, you know, do something in spring training that gets everybody fired up. Just, and don't get me wrong, I get sucked into that stuff too. And one more here. Who do you got here? Sorry, one second. I was just taking a peek at something.
I didn't do this. This was an exercise. I gave you the homework, not for me. But
no, that's players, okay.
You can go on to the ones you think are going to move down that you might not, that might move down an error that are just going to fall. Trying to think of one. Like,
yeah, I was looking at the ADP and trying to figure out a good one that
I don't want to think of like a boring closer. Like, who's going to fall? Like, maybe Yuri Perez is just like, I could see he's falling. Maybe we're wrong to.
Well, here's one. And again, I don't know if the trend is going to stay this way, but one person that I think if he gets overlooked and just off of our DC, it could be a one-off. I noticed that Nolan Jones went ahead of Michael Harris, that totally just kind of threw me off, not because I don't understand the Nolan Jones potential. Again, Coors, you know, he played great to end the year. But if Michael Harris is going to get pushed down a little bit further, like in that 35-40 range, I think that's wrong. I don't know what he did last year that would make anybody shy away from a 22-year-old that's did back-to-back 20 seasons and finished really strong himself. And while he hits at the bottom of that lineup, it's the best lineup in baseball, and there has to be a world where he could move up in that lineup depending on an injury or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden his counting stats, you know, take it to another level. So if he starts to fall because other guys move up, and if no, like, I don't know, the Nolan Jones thing shocked me that he got taken like 35th or 36th or something. I don't know why. Maybe I'm off base on him.
No, I think the Nolan Jones thing is legitimate. People have their concerns. I like Fish's tweet about him and Keston Hira.
Oh, I didn't see it. Oh no, but the numbers, yeah, comparing them from their big years. Yeah, that was pretty good. And you know what? One more I'll say that I'm like expecting maybe is maybe Justin Steele, like, because I think even myself, I look at him and go, "Is this guy really going to repeat this again?" But he's kind of done it for what, a year and a half now. And I could see people coming to draft season again and, you know, just looking at the type of pitcher he is and not wanting to buy into it again and then letting him slip a little bit. But I actually do think he's pretty legit. And I think it would be a mistake if they let him get past pick 100, I think is where he's going.
Yeah, Justin Steele's a guy that really, like, not everyone was sold on last year, but he had a really good schedule to end last year, and he did well. So did Skubal in 2023. Skubal had a really cake schedule. But all the metrics are just, it's funny. Everyone's buying in completely with Skubal, and then no one really bought in with Steele. Well, not to the extent.
Yeah, and I think Skubal's pretty legit. The thing that's tough there is, you know, if you want to get picky, is like how many wins is he going to get? Like you said, his schedule was really cake to end the season. And you know, again, a guy that hasn't always been healthy himself. Does the velo stay up? I mean, that was huge. He was throwing 99. You know, he was not throwing 99 previous seasons. But
Zach, I don't know if you had anything else. Otherwise, I do have an ad read for tonight's episode, and also an investment opportunity for Nikolai. I could close this down if you want.
Ooh,
yep. It's let's do it. I'm done, and I'm in the Bubba Bloom draft right now, and we're gonna.
Who'd you take? Did you take it? Anyone
here? Yeah. I'll share my screen.
I gotta get in a gladiator. I'll probably sign up for one pretty soon.
Can you see my screen?
Yes, sir. Okay.
You can see the.
Yeah.
The draft board. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what screen.
I'm no, seeing. I see it.
Okay.
Little Trey Ohtani start. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
All right, Nikolai, I appreciate
you. Yes, tell me.
I appreciate you coming on as a guest and doing that homework Zach gave you. And I always like to give our guests an investment opportunity in some of my businesses. Just shoot me a DM or whatever if you're interested. The return of Zach Waxman from retirement to the podcast world officially is brought to you tonight by Bjorn Masterson's sports-themed sex toy shop. I've received a permit to operate next year across from the Field of Dreams, and I feel like when it comes to a sex toy shop, when I build it, they will come. And they will come and over again. I can't wait for them to arrive. For our baseball fans, we've got some bat products. That's our big-ass toys. It vibrates for her pleasure. You can hollow out the end. You know, you don't need to, stuff it with bouncy balls or whatever to cork it. You can stuff yourself inside. Zach's a fan of units. We have big units, a mold of Randy Johnson's face and hands to pleasure yourself or your lover. And then for our kayak lovers out there, we have our ore, our orgasm above replacement sexual products. So please stop on into Bjorn Masterson sports themed sex toy shop, coming soon to the Field of Dreams. This has been the Draft Champions podcast, and thank you for listening.
Fantastic.
Oh man, I'm in. I don't know if I'm able to get to sleep. I'm gonna have to calm down and take a cold shower after that, but
no. So what do you guys think about this? I'm in the, they're live streaming this. Should I take Carlos Rodon in like round five and just like totally like make people think I like him?
Just you're trying to throw him off your actual feelings here.
Yeah,
for the
like
season.
people like care Zach. So much. People care so much about what I do. They're like, oh my God, Waxman took Rodon in round five. He's now a round five pick. See if I can move the market.
I mean, I like fucking with people, so I think it'd be fun.
There is a little bit of truth to that, though, because the entire Gladiator season last year, closers went at a crazy price, and some of that had to do with that first Gladiator draft. I know it did. When Albright took Clase and Diaz on the 14-15 turn like that, and then it just – the whole second round was closers. I do think yeah, that impacted the season.
And
for
Hans took Duval like in the second round.
Yeah.
Oh, you could definitely – I mean, I think you're – obviously you had a lot to do with this contest in general. I think you could definitely, you know, steer folks to, you know, a certain way because you're drafting early and kind of setting the market on some of
these guys.
What
did I say at the start of this podcast? I want you to lose. We're not trying to help people here. Fuck this community. We're doing this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like you guys, but obviously I don't want you doing better than me in any contest. But
exactly. Bring back the edge. Let's make fantasy.
Yeah, we don't need to kiss each other's asses that much. I mean, we can get along off the contest. That's cool. But we don't need to, like, you know, stroke each other's.
I like you, but I want you to lose.
Well, yeah. Anybody that says otherwise is just full of shit and is being fake anyway. So
yeah, exactly. So
Rodon's
a fifth round pick.
Yeah, if you take him in round five, I want to see the screenshot.
You know, if I really think I'm doing well, I don't want to ruin it with that. But if I'm like, this team's not doing too well, I might just throw some red herrings. I'm like,
sorry, I just saw Bjorn's mustache photo. It is even better than I thought it was going to be.
It's fantastic.
It's really good.
Thank you.
Man, see, I'm just telling you, I could never grow that even if I tried for a full year. So I'm just kind of envious. I think I'm up in RD. Am I up in RDC?
I'm on the clock somewhere, but I can't check because I'm in this draft. I'm on the Zoom. It's just really difficult. I'm picking wrong players in my best ball league. I took like a player like three rounds ahead of where I should have taken them because I'm just like not focused. So I had to get.
Are you doing them on underdog there?
No, best ball NFPC.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant like a best ball. Bjorn's a big best ball underdog guy, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, so I'm coming up here. So I got Heej next to me here. He is.
He's
going to take Bo Bichette if it falls. Definitely. Fish is going to take Altuve here, 100%.